Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Brian O'Heer. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks for being a special guest. Brian has been specializing in investment sales transactions for about 25 years. His prime focus is the sale of income-producing assets, which include office, industrial, and retail properties in the marketplace. And he's been involved in the sale and lease transactions exceeding over 30 million square feet in and around the D.C. metro area. His business acumen and knowledge of real estate transactions in the marketplace is recognized by the real estate community as a result of requests to serve as an expert witness in federal bankruptcy court and appear on Business Talk Radio as well. He has contributed numerous articles to industry publication and is also has experience as an accountant, but also in the world of tax-exempt lease financing. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about the phenomenon known as net leasing, Net Lease 101. I know that investors are looking for a safe place to put their money as the market's fluctuating today. And they're also looking for stable, predictable cash flow investment vehicles that are harder and harder to find. And I understand from you, Brian, that one of the best choices is to invest in single tenant net leased properties. What is a single tenant net leased investment?
Wayne, a single tenant net leased investment is typically a freestanding office, retail, or industrial building that is leased and occupied by one user or one company.
Okay.
Typically, the tenant has committed to a long-term lease, usually longer than 10 years, and as long as 25 years with the increasing rent over the lease term.
Do they usually own the building?
It depends.
Okay.
In some instances, you would own the property, both the land and the building, in
right.
a fee simple scenario.
Right.
A lot of the times, and depending on how much risk you want to put into the deal, sometimes you may only own the land, at which point that is called a ground lease.
Right.
And then at the end of the lease term by the tenant, whether it's a McDonald's, a Wells Fargo.
Or a hotel.
A hotel.
Right.
The structure, the bricks and mortar would then revert to you as the owner.
Or there'd be some kind of right of refusal in the current occupant to sell it and do something with it. I've had clients who've had ground leases. In fact, I've got one down in Arlington, and it's a hotel sitting on top of it, and they have specific provisions that were negotiated by the hotel company. But it varies from situation to situation. What is a net lease? We hear the term all the time. Tell us what that means.
Sure. There are different types of leases for commercial property in the United States. The two most common leases are full-service leases and net leases. A full-service lease means the tenant is paying one base rent to the landlord, the owner, to occupy the space, and the owner's paying all of the related expenses to the building, including insurance and property taxes.
Okay.
With a full-service lease, the landowner is also responsible for all the maintenance related to the building. Just this past summer, we had our derecho.
Yeah, sure.
In a situation like that, if there was damage to the roof and to the building, the owner would be responsible to pay for those repairs.
Okay.
In comparison, a tenant with a net lease is responsible for paying rent plus some or all of the operating expenses of the building, such as taxes, insurance premiums, and utilities. Depending on how the leases are structured, they can be net leases or triple net leases.
Now, I've heard that term many, many times. You know, net lease, double net, triple net. What distinguishes a plain net lease from a triple net lease, for example?
Typically, on a net lease scenario, you as the owner are paying for structural repairs, the structural repairs and maintenance
right.
on that.
Okay.
Specifically, in a triple net lease, the tenant agrees to pay for all of the building's operating expenses, real estate taxes, and insurance.
And so there's a factor that gets added on to the lease, to the base lease amount. If they're paying, you know, $30 a square foot for the space that they're occupying, but it's a triple net lease, the tenant's going to have to pay an awful lot more because they're also responsible for all the operating expenses.
Correct. And depending on the type of tenant and the type of use, they may be a computer company that building would be submetered, because the operating expenses and the electric charges are going to be higher.
Because they have to keep it cool for all the computers and all the servers.
Exactly. And you as the owner don't really know how much, you know, electricity they're going to use. So you sub-meter that building, and that electric bill, that utility bill will go directly to the tenant, and they will pay for it.
Got it. And so we've been talking about net leases, and we've been talking about single tenant. How is a single tenant net leased investment different from, say, you know, a multi-tenant building?
A multi-tenant building obviously has more than one tenant. And as a result, owners and landlords, they must juggle the leases that begin and end at different periods of time. You know, those leases are really longer than 10 years, especially in this marketplace where we have a lot of government contractors.
Right.
They really can't extend themselves beyond the term of the contract that they've won from the federal government. So
right.
That makes a difference. And given the multi-tenanted aspect of the building, the building's financial performance is vulnerable to the ups and downs of the market.
Okay.
But many lease investors, you know, they have owned other types of real estate, but are looking for investments that require less maintenance and supervision.
Okay.
You know, for example, many apartment investors end up selling their high maintenance properties and then reinvesting the sales proceeds in single tenant net leased retail properties, as do many landowners who have previously never received any income or tax benefits from their property.
Okay, so are you seeing a trend toward people investing in single-tenant net leased properties today because of this phenomenon?
We have seen a compression of income capitalization rates in that.
What does that mean? For the average listener, many of us who deal in real estate do understand. What is an income capitalization rate?
A capitalization rate is a formula in which we value the real estate,
okay,
in which we take the net operating income and divide it by
a factor.
A factor. So if you the lower the cap rate, the higher the sales price
value of the property.
The value of the property is going to be. And typically, in the net lease scenario, the better the credit, the lower the cap rate, the
higher. And therefore, the higher the value.
Higher the price. You know, our firm has recently done some McDonald's transactions where, you know, the cap rates are 4.5%.
Wow. That's a low cap rate.
That is a low cap rate. And I guess when you look at that return, that would be their return that they would get on that particular investment, provided that it's an all-cash transaction.
Sure.
And they could use that as a comparison to what they may get in the bank, you know, or a 10-year T-bill. A 10-year T-bill might be, you know, 1.5% or 1.6%. So effectively, they would have, you know, a 300 percentage point increase investing in a strong, in a net lease scenario with a very creditworthy tenant.
So the key is finding a creditworthy tenant in a good location, a good property that is going to generate cash flow to pay the lease payments so that at the end of the lease term, whatever that term is, 10, 15 years or whatever, the property can be sold at a significant profit and therefore a good return on investment is achieved, much better than you're going to get from sticking your money in a savings account.
Exactly.
Okay.
And typically with the longer term leases, there are rental increases in that. So
right.
you would own it for a period of time, but then that lease is going to increase. And obviously, if the rental rate increases, you should be able to realize a higher sales price for your particular investment.
Absolutely. So who's a good candidate for investing in these single tenant net lease properties?
We think the net lease properties appeal to a wide variety of buyers. From high net worth individual to partnerships to large institutional investors like the real estate investment trusts, life insurance company, and pension funds.
Okay.
These net lease properties are also very attractive to investors who need to do a 1031 tax deferred exchange.
By that you mean when somebody owns a piece of investment or commercial realty and they don't want to recognize the tax or pay the tax on it, they can exchange it for another piece of property.
Exactly. And there are certain parameters, and that gets, you could probably have another guest.
We've had a couple of shows on that, but it's a good topic to talk about. But so we're just talking about who might be a good candidate for investing in these types of properties. And so people who are looking for 1031 exchanges are also good candidates for investing.
Absolutely. Because they are just taking those proceeds and essentially deferring the taxes on it, because if they sold something, they were typically getting a return on their investment.
Mm-hmm.
And now if they exchange into another property, they're still going to maintain that same return.
Now, we've been talking a little bit about the benefits of investing in single-tenant net lease properties. Let's sort of go back, summarize, and reiterate what these benefits are, because it's a different type of property than most people are accustomed to seeing. It's not a big office building with many, many tenants. It's not a commercial shopping center with, you know, 50 different businesses occupying the strip center. It's a single tenant property.
Correct. Many people consider the single tenant net lease properties as bond-like investments because of their stable, predictable returns.
Okay.
Because these tenants are committed to long-term leases, there's very little releasing risk.
So the key is making sure that the tenant is creditworthy and is going to be around for a while.
Correct. And that's why you're looking at, the Fortune 500 companies, obviously, companies that have been in the area for a long time and have, have a credit history.
Sure.
Moreover, these single-tenant net lease investments can be tailored to an investor's risk-reward expectations by choosing tenants with different credit profiles. We chatted about that a little bit. But, some tenants are rated by national credit rating agencies, while other tenants only have their previous financial performance to recommend them to the investment community.
So the higher the credit risk, how does that influence the investment strategy and how an investor should look at the investment? Let's say I get a brand new business that's coming in that is going to be a single tenant. That would be something I'd be less inclined to invest in, right?
Correct. Because you don't know, you don't have the financial
performance
in
history.
In history of that tenant, and you just don't know where they're going. Obviously, and I think we'll chat about it, but ultimately you are buying the real estate.
Right.
Whether it's at the, corner of, Main and, First Street, you are still buying a piece of land of which one has to make it income producing.
So what are the risks then relating to investing in single tenant net lease properties? I think we're sort of getting to that point right now to talk about it.
Sure. While there are very few risks related to investing in single tenant net lease properties, tenants with non-investment grade profiles offer higher levels of risk. That risk typically provides higher returns as well. So you as the investor, you need to think about the releasability of the property if the tenant were to vacate the space.
Okay, so if somebody doesn't work out to be a good tenant, you want to make sure that you can use it for a similar use or comparable use to somebody that will work out later on and make it a viable investment.
Correct.
How are they? We talked about the valuation with the cap rate, right? I mean, that's really the primary methodology that we use. Are there any other factors that we use in valuing single tenant net lease properties?
Unlike traditional real estate investments, whose value is determined exclusively by the real estate itself, a single tenant net lease property's value is determined by a combination of factors, including the tenant's credit, the length of the lease, and rental escalations over the term. But last but not least, we talked about the real estate.
Yep.
In markets where the real estate experience valuation has a swing to it, a single tenant net lease property will maintain its value because of its bond-like long-term lease and credit tenant guarantee.
So Brian O'Hare is our expert on single tenant net leasing. And Brian, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they find you? How do they get in touch with you to find out more about the opportunities to invest in single net lease properties?
Certainly. Again, it's Brian O'Hare, and my office is here in Northern Virginia. I can be reached at area code 703-787-4714.
How about a web address? Any?
I work for Calkane Companies, And the web address is Calkane, CALKAIN.com. And we have offices here in the Washington, D.C. area, Boston, and Tampa.
Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Wayne, thank you.
And everyone, thanks for listening to Blueprint for Wealth. Join us next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.